10 years in the making. The fifth edition of the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language hits bookstores this week, and look out. 10,000 new words, 2,084 pages, 7.5 pounds. You could do your morning workout with it. Steve Klein-Nedler is executive editor of the American Heritage Dictionary. He joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Steve, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you so much, Robin, for having me back. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Boy, it's amazing to just page through this. And there will also be an iPhone app, we understand?
Yes, there will be an iPhone app as well as one for the Droid.
So you will not be able to escape the words and the new words. Let's go through a few that just resonated for us.
Okay.
Backronym, B-A-C-K-R-O-N-Y-M?
A backronym is an acronym coined from an existing word or name. It is not actually where it came from, but what people like to say it came from. For example, we give the example of wiki, meaning what I know is. Now, the word wiki did not come from what I know is. That's why this phenomenon is referred to as a backronym.
So the word wiki came first, and then someone applied what I know is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here's another one. Eggcorn. E-G-G-C-O-R-N.
Yes. Jeffrey Pullum is an American linguist who invented this term, and it refers to a series of words that result from misunderstanding a word or phrase as a different word or phrase. For example, free reign, R-E-I-G-N for free reign, R-E-I-N, or the oft-cited example from Shakespeare's Hamlet, to the manor born, M-A-N-O-R, as opposed to the manor born, M-A-N-N-E-R.
That's right. So those are eggcorns. And then finally, just we're giving people a taste of some of the new words. Fracking, this, of course, the method of extracting oil or natural gas by injecting water or chemicals and, you know, under high pressure, somewhat controversial. But we wondered, for the secondary and third definitions, did you consider the Battlestar Galactica definition of fracken, which is closer to the Boston frappin?
Believe it or not, I am a huge BSG fan and would have loved to have added it along with, you know, other sensors for toaster and what have you. If this were a slang dictionary, absolutely, in a heartbeat.
So you've got just about everything in here, but you have not yet gone to, let's say, the F words. But everything else is in here. How do you decide when a word is ready for your dictionary?
Well, it depends on the kind of word. Some words get automatic inclusion. For example, if you are a new element being named, like roentgenium, once the scientific institution that names these says this is what it's called, it goes in. Another good example of that might be bisphenol A, which was that compound that was found in drinking bottles, the kind that you take to the gym.
Yeah.
That's, of course, been around for a while, but it recently, in the past several years, came into the public discourse as something to avoid. And as all kinds of news outlets and blogs and different spheres of conversation include this, the evidence suggests that we should enter it. In fact, we do.
What words didn't make it? Right? You know, is there a word that really got, you know, debated and sent round and round and just didn't measure up?
Hundreds of words that we considered didn't make the cut. For example, we looked at the word cyber citizen. Cyber, of course, is a productive prefix. We enter is a prefix. You can attach cyber to just about any noun and have an understanding of what the word is.
And I'm just going to jump in to say I happen to look at that page. I just opened to it at one point. Mm-hmm. There's like a whole page of words almost, you know, with a prefix of cyber.
Yes. Cyber technology, of course, you know, cyberarian. You know, we don't want an entire, you know, 5 pages of cyber words. However, there is another new word, netizen, that is more common and used more frequently to describe the same kind of thing. And ultimately, we decided, especially because it's got this prefix and kind of covered by that, we didn't need to enter cyber citizen.
Yeah. But as far as the words that we use every day and how they get in, it seems like it's just a matter of timing. Linguist Jeffrey Numberg recently wrote an essay in the New York Times reminding us that back in 1961, when Webster's Third International Dictionary was published, there was a huge to-do because litterbug and wise up were included, and those were considered real slang.
And ain't.
Ain't. And the use of like as a conjunction. Oh, my poor mother never recovered. In other words, you'd say there was a cigarette commercial. Winston tastes good.
Like a cigarette
should instead of as. Do you have something like that, some grammatical shift that you've decided to anoint by putting it in the dictionary?
Most items that are categorically considered as no-nos, and there's a handful of them, we will include with a label that says non-standard. So, for example, everyone's favorite non-standard word, irregardless. We have to put it in there because people use it. It's an extremely common word. So it's in there, but it's with a non-standard label. We include things like, for example, when you're introducing what someone says, reported speech, you can say he was like such and such, he was all such and such. And those type of constructions are discussed at various usage notes.
For instance, somebody was all that, you would put that in, that definition of all?
Yes.
Well, I was thinking that, you know, as opposed to 1961 when like was, you know, heaven forbid, okayed as a conjunction, today you could put it in as, what would you call that, a space filler, you know, when people say like, you know.
A hesitation word, much like am or that is correct.
Is it in there?
Yeah, like in that hesitation sense has been around for a while. We define it, again, with that non-standard label, used to provide emphasis or a pause.
Okay, like that. So here it is. I'm paging through it, which I love to do. I mean,
That's the great thing about a print dictionary, and it's the one thing that's lost. You know, we have a website that has the definitions but not the etymologies online, and we've got the app, but there's something about having the print dictionary in front of you. It's there in full color, and just thumbing through it, because as you're looking up a word, you are constantly coming across other bits and pieces of the language that you might have had no idea about. You can open just about any page and put your finger down and learn something new.
So, for instance, I didn't know that praenumere was the offense under English law of appealing to or obeying a foreign court. Who knew? I love it. You love it. A lot of people love it. But do enough people love it to continue this huge labor of love, 10 years in the making, you know, thousands of pages?
Enough people do love it. Sales do support the existence of a print dictionary. Will all 300 million Americans have this in their home? Probably not, but enough do that make it worthwhile. From a Boston standpoint, I love the fact that we included smoot. I don't know if you've ever been
on...
You
did.
Yes.
Well, let's tell people. A smoot is both a person and a measure.
5 feet, 7 inches. Name for a person who went to MIT. They once did this prank where they laid him end-to-end over the Mass Ave Bridge between Cambridge and Boston and measured out the bridge. And every year, the fraternity there repaints the smoot lines. And what's really fabulous is that this guy is the president now of the – or went on to become the president of the International Organization for Standardization, which I think is really cool. So it's kind of a shout-out to Boston history there, and it makes for a nice word history.
Here it is, smoot, a unit of measurement equal to 5 feet 7 inches. And the bridge, I think, was how many smoots?
364.4 plus or minus 1 year, and it actually is spray painted on the bridge plus or minus 1 year.
And it's now made the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, the 5th edition. Steve Kleinendler, executive editor. Steve, thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me on, Robin. It's been a pleasure.